Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version. I am Scott Jensen, joined as always on Fridays by Andrew Laird. We are at week six of the NFL season, flying by pretty well here. If you could please rate and review the podcast, that'd be fantastic. Does go a long way to the top of the podcast. People will find the podcast, which is also a very good thing. Andrew, week six, how are you?
Not bad. We're starting to get some bye weeks in and potential cancellations. We'll get that in a second. But the player pool is getting a little smaller, which is good in some cases, just because, you know, fewer decisions are always nicer, in my opinion.
Yeah, there are, you know, you don't want too few games, but like getting off 16 games or 13 games, whatever we get on the big main slates for the, it can be a good thing. We have 11 games on this slate. Weirdly, we have nine of them are at 10 in the morning Pacific time, only two in the afternoon window. So it's going to be a little bit of a barren afternoon window. We do. You mentioned some buys. We have the Raiders, the Saints, the Chargers, and the Seahawks on buys. Some pretty interesting offenses there and some good players. We have the Rams and 49ers on Sunday night off the slate. And then we have two Monday night games because we didn't have a Thursday night game. We have the Chiefs and Bills and Cardinals and Cowboys. Interesting enough, I took a look and as I was going through the slate, I'm like, oh, look at this. There's not that many running backs on the slate. Of the 11 running backs in like the top 11 running backs in drafts this year, seven of them are not on the slate. They're either hurt or off the slate. It's crazy. The running back carnage we've had in the league so far.
That is pretty wild. Although one look at the player pool and you'll see it does get pretty ugly pretty quickly. So
it does at running back. I mean, I think I found a lot of wide receiver I like this week. I think quarterback's kind of an interesting up and down week, but running back was difficult. I'm gonna look forward to hear what you guys say about running backs. I thought it was tough this week.
Yeah, I assume we just all kind of end up on the same guys, just because even the ones that we like want to play aren't really in great matchups or they're like big underdogs, yeah. And so I can't imagine that the running back ownership is going to be all that spread out it won't be that spread out this week.
Yeah, just because there's not as many guys as normal that I really was excited to play. Yeah. But looking at the slate, we're kind of in this era of NFL. We got a lot of high totals. We have Denver or Detroit at Jacksonville is 54.5. Atlanta, Minnesota, 54. We'll talk about that one in 1 second, though. Houston at Tennessee is 52.5. Cleveland, Pittsburgh, 51. And Green Bay, Tampa Bay, kind of the marquee game this weekend. We got the Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers matchup, 55 in that game.
Should we be like excited about Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers in 2020?
Probably the last time they face each other, I suppose. Good riddance. Wow, nice.
At least with Tom Brady, but Aaron Rodgers can keep playing.
Yeah, although he doesn't appear to be a especially well liked guy overall, but he can certainly play quarterback. But I mentioned the Minnesota game. The Falcons had a few positive COVID tests yesterday, but they returned to practice today. That game looks pretty well, like it's on. Although, as we know, in this 2020 era with COVID, you know, that could change anytime one other additional test, and that game's in jeopardy. And then the Colts this morning closed their facility, so they are a little bit up in the air. They're playing the Bengals this weekend. For the purpose of this podcast, you and I think are keeping both those games on the slate. So we're going to be talking about them. It looks like both of them played, but obviously we don't know about the Colts. That news came out a couple hours ago. So I'm keeping them on the slate. Hopefully that's fine with you.
Yeah, it was kind of funny to hear the Falcons were going to work from home yesterday.
I like that.
How does football work from home? But all right, that's fine.
For Matt Ryan, probably nothing changes. He probably just throws the ball into the ground a few times and calls it a day.
I'll be honest. Somebody has been including me on a tweet to some of our season-long guys about some like lineup questions every week, which is perfectly fine. But like one of them was like, what do I do with Matt Ryan? And like my DFS thought was just like, get rid of him. Like, why do you still have him?
Cross him off then.
Yeah. And they're like, but you know, then I'm stuck with Daniel Jones. Like, yeah. Dude, why would you even need Matt Ryan at this point?
The answer to that should have been stuck with Daniel Jones, we'll cut him also.
Yeah. Right. Zero QB literally.
He has one touchdown since week one. Yes, cut him right now.
I mean, if you told me that Matt Ryan only had one since week one, I'd believe you too.
Yeah, that's true, except Calvin Ridley scores a couple times. But yeah, it's
Isn't he just
the first couple of weeks he scored.
Right, that's right. Four in the first two.
Peyton Hurst has two touchdowns.
Your boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Fair enough. My apologies.
But yes, it's been ugly. He had zero touchdowns last week with that offense. That's not something we anticipate happening. So that was ugly. We got some low totals this week. We had, I think we had last week, it was nobody under 46 or something like that. We have the aforementioned Giants hosting the Washington football team at 42.5. I almost messed that one up. Bears and Panthers at 45, and Denver at New England playing their game that was postponed last week after all the changes at 45 also. So we do have more than we had last week and the week before, I think, of some lower numbers.
Yeah, I mean, we also see the Jets and Dolphins. The last one I saw was 47. It's also interesting to me that that's one
47,
of the late...
Isn't that what the Dolphins score every week?
Well, I think that's exactly what the expectation is 47-0 because I can't see the Jets scoring any points. But it's weird to me that that's one of the two late games.
As someone who just watched a game with their favorite team of the Dolphins actually having to ease up off the gas pedal in the fourth quarter, it's I'm very impressed by the Dolphins offense right
now. That's
right. Yeah, I might be scooting a bit though.
Dolphins are just ripping through this podcast. So.
Oh, it was ugly. Mm-hmm. So let's jump into running backs. We talked before that running backs were looked a little bit different this week. We've got, mentioned a lot of guys injured. We have Zeke off the slate. We have CEH for another week off the slate. Obviously, they signed Le'Veon Bell yesterday.
I've heard of him.
We've got your boy Kenyon Drake off the slate, too, so that's tough for you right there.
It's before you keep going, I was updating like my spreadsheet here, and I have the depth chart in it. And like Drake is still technically at the top of the depth chart. And I was like, nope. And I just put in Edmonds myself because I'm like,
you should.
No way I'm ever playing him again.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake actually scored last week, but it was ugly. It was against the Jets.
Against the Jets, yeah.
Yeah, the Jets team is rough. So let's get into running backs. Let's take at the top. We have Aaron Jones, kind of one of the bigger names. Him and Derrick Henry are like the two biggest names on the slate, I would say. 7,600 on DraftKings, Aaron Jones, 8,500 on FanDuel. Tampa, they're at Tampa. We mentioned the Rodgers-Brady game. Tampa plays the run pretty well, but Aaron Jones, all that touchdown regression stuff has definitely not come to fruition. He has six already in four games. He has five plus targets in three of the last four games. Tampa hasn't allowed a running back over 60 yards rushing. So, if you play Jones here, I think you're hoping for a little bit of a mix of catching and running and probably scoring a touchdown. How do you feel about Aaron Jones as kind of the top of this running back pile?
He's certainly not a cash game priority for me. I mean, they're just playing against that Tampa defense. And we have other guys we'll talk about that I think are just in much better spots. But he does catch like a decent number of passes. I think he was second on the team in targets. He might be first right now with Adams missing a few games. But I don't know. It just seems like a lot of salary to spend. I think he's a great GPP play because I think people will naturally gravitate towards Rodgers. And if you do that, you tend not to play Jones as well. So I think it's solid in GPP. That, I mean, it seems like you have to be in like a really tough spot everywhere else to have to take a running back against Tampa Bay. And we're not in that spot this week. And so I'll probably skip him in cash games.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people will do that, and when they do, they're going to drop down to Derrick Henry, who is facing the Texans, who have had a ton of trouble against the run this year, a lot of big runs, a lot of touchdowns. They're pretty good last week against James Robinson. He was only 13 for 48, but Henry's 7,300 on DraftKings, 9,000 on FanDuel. He's priced all the way up on FanDuel. Henry's been weird. Like he had two touchdowns last week, so he worked, but he was 19 for 57 last week against Buffalo. He did score twice, like I said. They are small home favorite. Should be a pretty good game script for him. 3.7 yards per carry, but he does have 20 plus touches every week. So it's one of those things, like the volume is clearly there, the efficiency is not. But you know, Derrick Henry has always been a guy that the second half of the season, as guys get worn down, he kind of really breaks out. But how do you feel about Henry this week, coming off the week where he was inefficient but scored twice?
Yeah, I was actually a little surprised on the price of Henry on DraftKings, just because DraftKings came out with their prices late this week. Like, they're usually out Sunday night. I don't think they came out until like Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't know if it's based on trying to not have too many games canceled, so they're waiting as long as they can for any COVID postponements. But obviously we had Tuesday Night Football last week, so maybe they were trying to build that in, although they're usually out before the Sunday night game's even over, or at the very least before Monday night. So like Henry, I feel like maybe that poor performance is not what makes him 8,000 on this slate. Like, I don't know why he would be so much cheaper than if Dalvin Cook were healthy at 8,000 on DraftKings, like why Henry would be 700 less. On the flip side,
I thought Henry's gonna be 8,000 too.
Yeah.
I was surprised that he was below Jones.
Yeah. So you're in this weird position because, with Dalvin Cook unlikely to play, we have Alexander Mattison, who on Sunday night, everyone's like, this is going to be awesome. We're going to get like a $5,200 running back against the Texans. Madison's obviously going to get so much work with Cook out. And then Madison's 7,200 on DraftKings. Like, he's 100 less than Henry. And so it's like, well, Madison is a lot more than we're expecting, but Henry's also cheaper than we're expecting. So I think one of the reasons why Aaron Jones is not going to be all that popular is because a lot of people are going to gravitate to Henry and Madison.
So I looked at some roster percentage projections, and Madison was at the top of them ones I looked. Are you thinking he's going to be that popular? I mean, I figured once he was priced up to 7,200 that he would be popular, but not maybe the top of the list. You think he gets a higher percentage ownership than Henry does?
I think they're going to be close. Like, I think there are very clear cash builds where you can have both. And not that people build cash lineups for GPPs, although plenty do. But I think being able to combine them, we're going to have a nice long section of cheap wide receivers to talk about. And that just makes it easier to pay up for these guys. And when you have like spending 14.5 on two running backs on DraftKings, like usually people try to avoid that. But we do have some cheaper plays. And like you said, like we don't have Zeke. We don't have... I guess we can still include CEH in this conversation, but like we don't have McCaffrey. Cook is obviously out, which is why we have Madison. We don't have like Nick Chubb.
No Kamara either.
No Kamara. That's right. And so it just seems like like we said, there's just not that many guys to choose from. And with these two, like on the expensive side, but they're not like overly expensive to what we're used to seeing. I think you're just going to see a lot of people play both of them. The only reason I feel like you could make a case for Henry over Madison is because like the Minnesota passing game should be fine against Houston also. Against Atlanta. So like theoretically that means, you know, if you're going to play Cousins or Thielen, then you don't necessarily need to play Madison too. I think they're both going to be like really, really popular.
So Madison was obviously really good last week at Seattle when Dalvin Cook got hurt. He was 20 for 112, also caught three passes. The Vikings, as we know, want to run it. I think the key here is that the Vikings have a bye next week, so it makes a lot of sense not to rush Dalvin Cook back. Like, he just gets, instead of like 1 week off, he gets a full like 3 weeks off, so it makes a huge difference with the bye next week. So I don't think he's going to play. Mike Davis had 150 total yards on Atlanta last week. So clearly, you know, the possibility for some good yards is there. Atlanta hasn't given up 100 rushing yards to everybody, but I think that's more because everybody's been passing on them anyway. But yeah, I think it'll be popular. I don't think it'd be at quite the high numbers that I saw, but dropping down 200, we have Mike Davis, who suddenly is like, over the last weeks has been the number one running back in the league. Like, it's crazy how well he is slotted into that Christian McCaffrey slot. Now we have people saying, you know, maybe the offense is better with Mike Davis, which is absurd. But three straight top 10 weeks at running back. He had 21 plus touches all the last 3 weeks. He had 80 plus yards rushing the last 2 weeks. His targets in the last 4 weeks have been 8, 9, 6, and 10. I mean, it was just incredibly utilized to a huge degree. Ronald Jones had 106 yards against the Bears last week. So, you know, we think of the Bears and maybe not quite the defense that we thought they were coming into the year. But Jonathan Taylor was 17 for 68 the week before. So, you know, good but not great. The Bears haven't really faced a lot of good running backs. So this should be a little bit interesting here. So what do you do with Mike Davis? We talk so much about Henry and Madison and think they're going to be popular. How does Mike Davis kind of fit in this world then?
I don't think he does. Like, I think that's the problem.
Really? Because, I mean, he was really popular last week, and I know the matchup is different, and he delivered. I find it hard to believe that people aren't going to go back to someone that delivered for him the last couple of weeks.
I mean, I think the popular build is going to be Henry Madison, at least in cash games, which makes, like, an Aaron Jones-Mike Davis combo look really good. Like, I don't know. I just feel like there's a general thought that the Chicago defense is good. It's much better against the pass than the run, at least in terms of like fantasy points. So I don't know if people are necessarily going to be rushing to Teddy B again this week, or Robbie Anderson, or DJ Moore.
DJ Moore, touchdown. It was beautiful.
Finally. So like, yeah, I just think Davis is in this kind of weird range where the other guys in the price range just look better. And if they look better, you know, it's not like Mike Davis is 6,000. I mean, he shouldn't be. I mean, he's obviously put up more than enough production to justify this price. But I think just with how good the matchups are for Henry and Madison, people are just going to go there.
So then right below that, we have someone who has another tough matchup. We have Kareem Hunt at Pittsburgh. He's 6,900 on DraftKings, 7,000 on FanDuel. We saw the first full game last week without Nick Chubb. He had 23 touches. He was only 20 for 72, and he did have three catches and scored a touchdown receiving, kind of helped his line there. But he was against the Colts' rush D, who is a very good rush D. Another tough matchup against the Steelers. Miles Sanders had a big game against it last week, but it was like built on 170-plus yard run. So it was kind of a little bit skewed there. The line, he was 11 for 80, but one of those runs was 74 yards. So like the rest of the time, he did absolutely nothing. Haven't let a running back over 80 yards. I think Hunt's really good. I think he'll have volume, but you just look at Pittsburgh, and it's tough to click that there.
Yeah, and the same way with Sanders. Like for this week, like if you have the guys we just talked about, like Mike Davis looks fantastic to me versus Miles Sanders against the Ravens or Hunt at Pittsburgh.
I didn't even have Sanders like as on my sheet as playable this week. I think versus Baltimore game script, whatever it may be. He's so explosive. He may do well, but I just not someone I'm playing for the price.
But like James Robinson's much better than both of them, right?
Yeah, I mean he's facing home against Detroit in a game that you know he should see heavy volume. I think I'd play him. I don't know. I have a thing for Kareem Hunt, so I'm a little bit stuck there because I just think Kareem Hunt's really really good at football, by the way, not in life. But Pittsburgh scares me, but I think he'll be heavily involved in the passing game if they have to throw it. It depends on Odell Beckham. Maybe if he's not healthy, he went home sick yesterday. You know, if they need to utilize Hunt a little more in the passing game. I like Hunt more than Sanders for sure, but it's tough to go over him over Robinson just with the anticipated volume there.
Yeah. But even, I mean, they're still not that much cheaper than the guys we've discussed. Like, I feel like we're just going to keep,
that's the key point.
Yeah. There's really only one guy, I'll call it two guys. There's really only two guys that I feel like should be in the fantasy point range of these guys, but not in the salary range. And like, that's generally what we look for. And they're guys that like you never really want to play. Maybe one you do. But like I would skip Jonathan Taylor this week if the Colts play. Like the matchup is fine. It makes sense. But like I feel like we're just not seeing anything out of Taylor to make me think that he's going to have one of these like 22 for 185 and two touchdown games. Like it's just going to be, he needs those 23 carries to get to 85 yards. And like,
And not only that, he played 31 snaps last week. Like they're mixing around. He played 33 snaps and 24 the week before that. he's not out on the field enough to put up the line that you said, at least so far. It's going to happen at some point this year.
Sure.
They're going to fully go there, but like, I don't want to play him every week waiting for it. I'll just wait until it comes and play him after that. I mean, I just, 3 straight weeks with 33 or fewer snaps is not what I want to see for a guy that's not that cheap.
Right, right. So the two guys that fall in, I almost want to call it, maybe we could even throw a third guy in actually, but I almost want to call it the David Johnson group because it's not actually David Johnson this week, but it's like the right matchup. He gets all the touches. They're favored. So like the two guys are David Montgomery playing against the Panthers because like generally, like we did last year, like what tight end is playing Arizona this week? This year, it's like which running back is against Carolina. This week is Montgomery, 5,800 on DraftKings. Like he gets everything that they do in the backfield other than these random Patterson touches that they give him. But like they have basically no other running back that they're actually using. So David Montgomery, Miles Gaskin against the Jets. If they're going to win 47-0, then obviously Gaskin's going to get some touches.
Right.
And I think you could throw Antonio Gibson in that group. I don't think he is as good as Montgomery or Gaskin, but I think for the price, like 5,500 against the Giants makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, that's those are two of the guys. The only two guys I had really bolded down here under 6,000. Before I go to that range, any I'm not playing Joe Mixon this week against Indy. Any love there at 6,200?
The only reason why like I considered it is because it just seems like he gets 58 touches every game.
And it's like, he did. I mean, last week they were trailing the whole game to Baltimore. He still had 24 carries.
24 carries. Like what? It just makes
no sense. But.
But we don't. It doesn't matter.
Down to Baltimore. It felt like they were down 40-0. They were only down 17, but you knew the game was over.
It was way over.
But still 24 carries surprised me. But let me look at Montgomery first. I mean, just super involved with Tariq Cohen out. He only had 10 carries last week, but he has 14 targets the last couple of weeks. Carolina's allowing 5.1 yards per carry. They somehow allowed 14-121 to Todd Gurley, of all people, last week, and 40 yards to Brian Hill. Like, if Todd Gurley's going for $120 on 14 carries on someone, like, how do you not target that defense?
He looked like Gale Sayers, too. Like, I just.
Way to date yourself on that reference.
Yeah,
he did. But every time he looked up, I was like, oh, who's that? I'm like, oh, Todd Gurley's doing something again. It was, it was gross.
Right. It was almost like you were hoping it was Brian Hill just to like justify him getting more touches. And you were like, oh, it's Gurley. Exactly. So he's locked in for a little more.
Exactly. 1,500 for Montgomery, I think, is a really good price. Like everything you mentioned. Gaskin's really interesting because they actually had Jordan Howard inactive last week. And if that's going to happen again, like Jordan Howard's terrible, but he still gets those goal line carries. I mean, he's bad at it, but he still was getting them. You know, I think he had a line earlier this year where he was 5 carries for 3 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's just one of those guys that gets the 1 yard touchdowns. But if Howard's going to be out of their mix, I mean, Gaskin had a touchdown last week. He had 21 touches. He's just really involved every week and he's not been really good, but they seem to really like him. And you've got a game against the Jets where, you know, the Jets let Drake and Chase Edmonds score last week. He has 21 targets the last 4 weeks, so he's involved in the passing game also. The Jets again have 4 rushing touchdowns the last couple of weeks. You know, Mostert and Jerick McKinnon went crazy on him a couple of weeks ago. Gaskin at 5,400 just seems like a guy who's going to touch the ball so much that it's hard not to pay off the price.
Yeah, and so now we have Montgomery, Gaskin, Madison, Henry, maybe Gibson if you want. Like, we were talking about how there are, like, no running backs to play, but, like, that's 5 of them that you can play. But I think those 5 are why, like, nobody will end up with, like, Aaron Jones. We didn't even talk about James Conner in that price range. Mike Davis, like, I think the easiest way to differentiate, like, if your GBB build, if you think everybody's playing Henry or Madison, like, you can actually keep the same type of build in terms of, like, pay for running backs, at least 2 of them. And then, but you can just get different ones, and all of a sudden you've got a lower owned guy who could score just as many points, if not more, than Henry or Madison.
Yeah, and you could go, if you like you mentioned, you just go Jones Davis for the almost exact same price. It kind of differentiates there. I don't know. I think Davis and Madison are going to be a little closer than you think, but you're better percentages than I am, so I will defer on that one. But I tend to think that when push comes to shove, I think more people will play Davis than we think, and less people play Madison. But it'll be interesting to see the percentages when they come out.
That's fair. What do you do about Damian Harris?
I have him on my sheet here. He was 17 for 100 last week, or I guess 2 weeks ago, because they were off against Kansas City with no Sony Michel. I just don't trust. I mean, it's kind of back to the old. I don't trust the Patriots running back situation. I think Sony Michel's not going to play, but he hasn't been ruled out yet. You've got Burkhead. You have James White. I just
and Cam Newton. Just,
Yeah, and Cam Newton. It was the key to that. They get in the 2-yard line, Cam Newton's running it in.
Right.
I think Harris is really interesting, kind of moving forward as a guy to watch, but I am not playing him yet this week.
Okay, that's fair. I'm not touching him either, but like I feel like if a guy hits 100 yards in his last game,
of course,
we should at least say 5,000
for right. sure. What do you do with Ronald Jones this week? Speaking of guys that hit 100 yards last week, he had 20 touches last week for 125 yards. He is 6,000 on DraftKings at home against the Packers in a game that you know is a high over under. Todd Gurley, we mentioned him again, scored a couple times last time Green Bay played, which was week 4. They were on bye last week. Alvin Kamara went nuts against them the week before that. Do you have any interest in Ronald Jones here, or just the Gaskin Montgomery stuff kind of takes Jones off the page for you?
Yeah, it's the latter point. There are other guys that I think I'd rather play that he doesn't really come into the conversation for me.
If you want to get dirt cheap, There's two guys under 5,000 I want to ask you about. The first is Devontae Freeman, home against the Washington football team. I almost did it again. 19 touches last week. Didn't have a lot of total yards, but scored a touchdown. He played 37 snaps last week, so he's getting more involved in the offense. He's so boring. At 4,900, like if he scores and gets touches, you could kind of see it working out. I don't know if I could do it, though.
There's no way I'm doing it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as like I may go 16 weeks with a Daniel Jones stack somewhere, and so I can't have Devontae Freeman messing that up.
Yeah, once the Daniel Jones stack doesn't really work against the Cowboys, I think I'm fully out.
One day, Scott, it's gonna happen.
Darius Slayton was good though, so that part worked out.
Mm-hmm. And we got that luck box Ingram touchdown, or I did.
I know, the rushing touchdown, that was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Last guy I want to ask you about is 4,300 on DraftKings. Melvin Gordon got a DUI this week, and he's back at practice, but you know, there's definitely a chance that they could go with its disciplinary action and not play him this week. Philip Lindsay is back. He practiced fully on Wednesday and Thursday. A good player. He's 4,300. We have no idea what we're going to expect. I mean, he has not played yet, so it's like first game back. Who knows if they were to let him free if Gordon doesn't play. If Gordon's ruled out, they decide they're going to go disciplinary action on him. Do you think about Lindsay at 4,300?
Probably not in this matchup.
He's at New England, which is, you know, never great. I think he's an intriguing, like, if you get a perfect lineup and he fits well in a GPP and, you know, you can get him to, you know, score once and have 75, 80 total yards and it works with the price. He's very, very risky because we just have no idea what his workload could look like. We don't know if he's in football shape. Like, we just have no idea. But at 4,300, I think he's a guy that at least has a little bit of burst in him for a GPP kind of flyer dart kind of guy.
I would say he's the cheapest guy I would have in my pool. Like,
yeah,
I'm certainly not playing Frank Gore or Pirine.
No.
So I'll give Philip Lindsay some credit there.
Yeah. So let's jump into the passing game. But first, a note from our sponsor, Prediction Strike. Prediction Strike is a fantasy sports stock market in which you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes as if they were stocks. Ever heard someone say, "I've had stock in this player since day one"? Well, now Prediction Strike makes that a real possibility. You had stock in Alvin Kamara his rookie year. You knew this would all happen. Now it's a reality. Create a portfolio of all your favorite athletes and get closer to the game than ever before. To get started, simply visit PredictionStrike.com to create an account. Then deposit funds to buy, sell, and hold shares of your favorite players just like you would real stocks. Every game is like an earnings report. If the player beats his projections, his stock moves up. It's just that easy. You can trade shares of your players at any time as long as the player isn't currently in a game. Get started today by visiting PredictionStrike.com and sign up with the code ROTOWIRE to get an additional $10 off with your first deposit of $20 or more. So quarterbacks, I'm going to start at the top, and I want to ask you about Lamar Jackson because I know you played him last week and it did not work out well. You still did well, but the Lamar Jackson play did not work out well. He's at Philly this week. He's down to 7,700 on DraftKings, 9,000 on FanDuel, still fully priced there. Lamar has been outside the top 15 at quarterback three of the last 4 weeks, which I'm positive we didn't see anywhere near that even in any stretch last season.
Yeah.
Hasn't topped 205 yards passing since week one. He rushed twice last week, which I think is the key of this whole thing, is that he had 3 yards rushing last week. And I don't know if they didn't need him and they were up against Cincinnati that whole game. Maybe it was his knee that was, he was questionable. And they, you know, it seemed like it wasn't that big a deal, but you know, there's no reason for them to risk him if they get up at all. I think that I need to see Lamar kind of be Lamar once before I put him back in at the price. Obviously that presented me just saying that, you know, obviously in your head you presents an opportunity like, well, I can get Lamar Jackson when no one's playing him. Like, I get that. I don't think I'm doing it this week. I don't know. I haven't seen it from him where I see him running loose. Obviously, he could do it anytime, but I think I need to see it once before I put him back in a DFS lineup.
Yeah, I mean, somebody who like primarily plays cash games, I don't even know why I played him last week. I think part of it was I was like expecting the rushing yards to come back, even though he was dealing with that knee injury. Right. I think I read that he threw 28 passes in the first half, and it's like I'm not playing with Lamar Jackson for passes. Like, so as like just to
mitigate, I mean, you are, but you're playing him for passes in addition to the big right. running. I mean, you are passing touchdowns, I think.
I was just about to say, like, I'm playing him for the 85 rushing yards and then the 17 passes for 5 touchdowns. And like, exactly. I don't, so like, is somebody who tries to like mitigate risk as much as possible. Like, I just, like you said, like I need to wait and see it. And I don't think Jackson's going to be popular enough, certainly in cash games, and like before that happens, that I need to worry about it. I'm not going to like lose out on a big Jackson week because everybody has him. I think everybody is kind of worried about what happened to the rushing floor, and nobody needs to be like, you don't need to take the risk in cash games to be like, oh, I think this is the week he'll start running again. Cause like, we don't really know. We have plenty of other guys to play this week that, I think fading Lamar certainly in cash games is pretty easy for me.
Yeah. So I took a look at it last year. He had 12 games. We had over 60 yards rushing. He has one so far this year. Last year he had 8 games. So half the season we had more than 10 rushes, which I think is really what you want. You want him just having those attempts. He has one game this year with double digit rushes. Like, it's definitely, it seems like they have changed the game plan a little bit. And it seems like the last 3 games have really changed the game plan. He's 9-7-2 rushes the last 3. And that the 2 rushes really jumped out to me. Like, if they're at Philly this week, where, you know, probably a little bit tougher matchup than they were at home against Cincy. And, you know, Philly, you know, started to put up some points last week against the Steelers and started the offense, maybe started to come together a little bit, but I don't know. I just, at the price, he's cheaper than he was, but not cheap enough where I'm throwing him in yet.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I didn't watch a second of that game. I was just tilting on my phone every time he didn't do anything, but like,
it was an absolutely horrendous football game to watch. So you missed nothing. Like, it was like, there was nothing really, unless you like Baltimore defense or played Baltimore defense. A lot of people did, and they worked out well. But in terms of like aesthetics of the game, it was horrible.
Well, I think the important thing with Jackson is realizing like just how many designed run plays they have for him. Like, we talk about running quarterbacks, and a lot of rushing attempts come from like either broken plays or just like the coverage is just like opens it up, or the pass rush is there and they can take off. And like, for obviously that didn't happen last week. Like, he wasn't under a lot of pressure, and so he didn't have to like create something. But ultimately, like, that's kind of, you would expect some of those plays at least. And they just like, they're not there. And if they don't have design runs for him, then there's just no reason to think that the rushing floor is coming back. So,
yeah, that's a really good point on the design runs. Cause I feel like someone like Kyler Murray, I feel like most of his runs come from like broken plays where he just pulls it down really quickly and goes. But you're right. Last year they had so many plays that were built for Lamar to get chunk plays running. Right. And it seems like they're not drawing those up right now, whether it's because of that knee or something else going on, or they just don't need to right now. Maybe they're holding back, but it's, yeah, I think I need to see it once before I go back.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've got expensive guys that can put up plenty of ceiling games. We got Aaron Rodgers against Tampa Bay. Bucks defense has been a little bit better against the run, but I mean, excuse me, against the pass, but like, they're still much better against the run. So you have to imagine that Green Bay tries to attack him that way, gets Davante Adams there. Do you play Deshaun Watson against the Titans?
I tell you what, Deshaun's really coming on. I mean, we talked about the Bill O'Brien stuff last week. He had 359 and 3 touchdowns last week. That's 2 straight weeks over 300. And just kind of he's finally getting there. Like, the first couple of games were like, it doesn't look like Watson. And he still makes a lot of weird, bad passes. He throws a lot of balls in the dirt, like crossing patterns at guys' feet that are driving me nuts. But he's still not running, which we talked about that. He only had 25 yards rushing last week. I think he has one good rushing game all year. But he's getting past that early. The early schedule was so brutal. He's finally getting out. But, Tennessee played Josh Allen really well last week, which maybe, I don't think is good a quarterback, but maybe a similar type quarterback. Allen had, 260 yards on 41 passes and a couple of picks. Watson's firing right now. I think I go Rodgers over Watson this week for $500 more, but Watson's definitely my player pool.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, to be honest, I mostly skipped all of these guys. Not that there are like a ton of players, a ton of quarterbacks to go with, but I think there are some very, when you do like blind plays like I do with like, okay, here's a quarterback. Let me try to pull it up here. Second highest implied total of the week. I'm like, and he's 6,300. It's like, all right, well, who's that? And I'm like, oh, I think I can get away with Matt Stafford. Like,
he's bolded and in shiny lights on my show.
Sure. Like,
I could not believe his price when I scrolled down this.
That one was like really weird to me. But like, if you just look at the, like, again, like just go blindly, we've got the Minnesota, Detroit, Tennessee, Miami, and then Green Bay in terms of like team implied points. Like, the Dolphins, I think actually the Dolphins are equal with the Packers. But like, if you have, and we talked about Gaskin, obviously, and we talked about Jones, but like, if you have Aaron Rodgers at 7,500, or you can get a quarterback at 5,900, and their teams are supposed to score the same number of points, like, what does Rodgers do that makes him so much more valuable than Fitzpatrick, other than essentially his career? But like, this week, like, you have like opportunities to pay down. Like, Cousins is 6,100. And obviously, if you're playing Madison, at least in cash games, well, probably GPPs too, like, you're probably not playing Cousins and Madison. But like, we have a lot of cheap guys in very, very good spots where their teams are expected to score plenty of points, that paying up for Watson or Lamar just seems like a little crazy.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of weeks we talk about cheap quarterbacks, and we always bring them up. But I find myself, for the most part, the first 5 weeks, I've been playing the Wilsons, the Dacks, the Mahomes. Yeah. And I always kind of get there. I think this is the first week where, like, I'm really going cheap at quarterback, even on my main teams. I love Stafford this week, 6,300. Multiple touchdowns in three straight games. Great matchup. Could be a great game flow if Minshew can get it going a little bit on the other side. You could be a high-scoring game here. The Jags have allowed 8.8 yards per attempt to quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson, we mentioned earlier, went crazy against them last week. And, you know, Joe Burrow had 300 yards and a touchdown the week before. I think Stafford's my favorite play at quarterback, and I was a little bit surprised he wasn't like 6,800.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, it's not like he hasn't been awesome. So, like, I think this is definitely more of a matchup play than anything else. But, I mean, he makes a ton of sense. The one guy that I was thinking about, who's a little more expensive, not much. And I was curious what you thought. Like, where do you put Cam Newton? Like, we obviously talked about the running back situation. He's the reason why we don't love the running back situation. But, like, they're big favorites, home against Denver. Theoretically, if they get up big, we think it's because he had something to do with it, whether it's passing or rushing. He's not Lamar from last season, but, like, he does really a lot for that team, and 6,500 on DraftKings seems pretty good. Like, I feel like I'd be all over it if I wasn't also like, oh, but Stafford makes a lot of sense and Fitzpatrick makes sense. And so, like, where do we put Cam?
I it's impossible for me to bring this one. I just don't know how he's going to come off the COVID stuff. Like, he's been out for a couple weeks now. He was activated on Thursday. I don't think we know much about how many symptoms he had, or if he, I mean, seems like he's fine and ready to go, but you know, it's weird. In baseball, we saw some guys that, like, had COVID and came back and were awesome and were fine. And then some guys, like, a month later were like, I just can't get going. I still feel sore. Yoan Moncada on the White Sox, like, a month into the season, was like, I just never felt the same.
Yeah.
Hard for me to predict it. I assume if he's going to play that he's feeling well and feeling fine. His one big passing game came against a game in Seattle where they were kind of chasing the whole game. But you're right. I think you're looking for the rushing stats. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to do it just because I like other guys here. If there was nobody down here, maybe I'd think about it. But I just think a little bit too much unknown and risk for me to play Newton this week.
That's fair. I mean,
I just don't know how much, like, if you're in the fourth quarter and up, are you really going to lean on him to, like, go run in the pile again, I guess? And I don't know. I won't even pretend to know the answer to that question. Right. But the fact that it's a question moves me to the other quarterbacks.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I think the fact that the other guys not even are in the range, they're actually cheaper. Like, I don't think we're ever going to see Cam at 6,000 this season. Like, there's just not, he's too
would
good
you,
for that. But
exact same price, would you play Cam over Brady this week?
Yeah. Brady's dust, man. Come on.
He sure looked like it against the Bears, and not knowing what down it was and all that, but, 8 touchdowns passing the prior 2 weeks. He gets Chris Godwin back. This could be a little bit of a back and forth game. You know, I think that they're going to have to score to hang with Green Bay, who I think is going to score. Great game script, but I don't know. It's just it's going to have to be, you know, a lot of short passes to turn into touchdowns, and, you know, you want a 3 or 4 touchdown passing week. It's just because he's not airing it out like he used to. But I'd play Brady over Newton. So there's that answer for you.
Okay, go ahead.
You're shaking it for the people on the audio podcast. He's just shaking his head.
Oh yeah. I mean, I just, thankfully we don't have to decide where we can easily just skip both of them.
I think I'm going to probably skip both of them, but I would play Brady over Newton. So we get the cheaper guys you mentioned. We have Kirk Cousins, 6,100, Ryan Fitzpatrick, 5,900, Ryan Tannehill, 5,900. Do you have a favorite among those guys kind of cheaper than Stafford?
So Tannehill's the one that like jumped out at me, not for any reason other than when I do these like blind stack things. They have the, what is that, fourth highest implied total. And just stack-wise, like Tannehill, A.J. Brown, and Jonnu Smith are the 11th most expensive combo, which like if you do like Brown, I don't think anybody's really playing Adam Humphreys, but like, in fact,
is
I should just take
is
him
he back?
Off.
I don't even know if he's back.
I think he's back, yeah. But even if it's Raymond, like he's even cheaper. So like, that's just like a really cheap stack, particularly because Derrick Henry is expensive. And like, if you're going to play Henry, you're not going to stack all these guys too. But I think like, I don't think we should ignore the Tennessee passing game, particularly in tournaments, just because if Henry is going to be that popular, and they're going to score a ton of points, like they just did it. Like they just scored a ton of points. I mean, he obviously, had the touchdowns himself, but like they could have just as easily scored those touchdowns through the air. And then that's
yeah, I mean,
a huge Tannehill.
Tannehill had four touchdowns too. So
well, right. Yeah, that's true. Like everybody ate.
He had three passing and one rushing and, you know, really good game script and multiple touchdowns in three of the last four games. I kind of gravitated a little more towards Fitzpatrick, but I like them both.
Yeah.
I was surprised Fitzpatrick was still this cheap. Like their game was Sunday afternoon. Yeah. I thought he may bump up a little bit more. He killed the 49ers. The Niners were down to like their seventh and eighth cornerbacks, but 350 and three touchdowns. He was 22 of 28. Could have been worse, except they pulled off the gas in the fourth quarter. Fitz is over 300 yards three of the last 4 weeks. I know people have been like talking about Tua, but Fitz has been good. He has a healthy Preston Williams and Devontae Parker right now, so he has like good weapons also. The both those guys are really dynamic. The Jets are allowing 8.3 yards per attempt. We've talked about how the Jets' offense is, or defense is not good in any way. The game script is tough. They're 9.5-point favorites, so maybe they pull off later. But I don't know. Kyler Murray was struggling coming to the game last week and had 380 yards on the Jets. So I find it hard to get away from Fitz, although, you know, the Tannehill, Stafford, Cousins, all in the mix that make it really interesting. But for me, I think it's Fitz or Stafford if I'm going down here. And I think I am.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that, though. Like, the one game in the last four that he didn't have 300 yards, he still had three touchdowns, including a rushing touchdown. 27.32, 25.2, 26.3, and 30.6 fantasy points on DraftKings the last 4 weeks.
Still under 6,000.
And 5,900 is the most expensive he's been. And he's now is his best matchup, like, of that entire run. I mean, it's also, I don't know if this applies to Ryan Fitzpatrick because he's played for half the league, but it is a revenge game as well.
A revenge game. Nice. That's
just
going to
leave that.
I mean, I think the only way Fitz doesn't work is if they, you know, just a ton of rushing and they just kind of sit on it the second half. But I find it hard to believe he's not going to get a good amount of stats in this game the way the Jets are playing.
Yeah, just the way that the Jets are playing, I just don't see how Gaskin is the one who gets them up in the first half, and then they continue to use Gaskin in the second half just to bleed it out. Like, I don't know. I didn't like Fitz as much as I did before we started talking about it, but but I think Cousins is firmly the fourth guy in the group.
Yeah, and you talk implied totals. I mean, Miami's 28.3 also, so right there with Tennessee and Green Bay. I mean, it's right there. It's a really fun week for quarterbacks because I think, like you mentioned, they're all down at the bottom here. I think that Rodgers is the only guy at the top I'd consider. Other than that, I'm going under 6,500 with these four guys. But actually, three guys. I think I put Cousins fourth, like you just said.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Cousins can have a huge game. Like Cousins, playing Cousins is like the same thing as playing Tannehill. Like everybody's going to Henry, everyone's going to Madison. So just take the passing games of those two teams, because I mean, it's been a while, but like, we know that Cousins can put up a huge game. And he has like receivers that you actually want to play. I tend not to like to play the Titans receivers as much, but like the Minnesota ones I find much more attractive.
Yeah, and I know Atlanta has not played well, but that you can kind of see them putting up some points to kind of make Minnesota go a little faster too.
For sure.
So let's jump into the wide receivers. The guys are going to be catching all these passes, but first a note from our sponsor, StableDuel. Are you dominating your fantasy football league? Well, now there's another game you need to play. Imagine fantasy for horse racing. StableDuel is live with daily contests offering thousands of dollars to be won each week. Download the StableDuel app, create your account, and start selecting your horses today. Compete against other players for winner's circle glory and big money prizes. Are you new to racing? Not to worry. StableDuel is simple and fun with low-level entries and big payouts. Name your stable, select 10 horses with your bankroll, and watch each horse accumulate points depending on where they finish. Invite friends to compete against and show them who dominates in all sports, including the sport of kings. Download the StableDuel app and build your stable today. Get in the action at StableDuel. Play, race, win. So wide receiver, Andrew, we got some big boys at the top here. We've got, I guess, three guys, I would say, over 7,000 that I think are going to be heavily considered. We have Devontae Adams, Calvin Ridley, and Adam Thielen. Adams is 8,000, Ridley 7,800, Thielen is 7,300, all on DraftKings. Do you have a strong feel among those three of someone that you want to get in there for sure?
I actually put Thielen in right away, and then it was more because I just assumed Madison was going to be so cheap, and it was like, oh, if I have to actually pay the same price for Madison as I do Thielen, they're going to have to score a ton of points for that to work out. And while they certainly could. Yeah. Thielen ended up kind of, I liked Madison more than I liked Thielen. And so, he kind of fell out. You don't think Allen Robinson belongs in this group?
He does. I like Allen Robinson a lot. I was going over 7,000, but yeah, I mean, I think that, if you want to push him up in there rather than the guys below, you could do that.
Okay. Yeah. Because he was actually another one that I jumped at, but it was like, but do I really want to play Allen Robinson and David Montgomery if Montgomery ends up being the cheap running back to play? I don't know. They're all really good. I was wondering, does everybody just think Adams is fine? Obviously he's healthy and coming off a bye, but do you play him over these guys?
I don't, but I think everybody thinks he's fine. I definitely consider amongst these guys. I like Ridley and Thielen more this week with a little bit of a price discount, especially on Thielen. I like those two guys more. Not really an indication on not liking Adams. I mean, he's obviously can go huge in a game with a ton of points. And I mean, he had 17 targets week one, and they got hurt in the middle of week two. But I don't know. Give me the guys that have been on the field a little more recently. Maybe Adams has a little bit of rust going. I think he's going to be fine. But I definitely like Thielen more at $7,300, $700 cheaper. And I like Calvin Ridley. I mean, we talk so much about Minnesota scoring. Atlanta's going to have to chuck the ball a lot.
Yep.
Ridley had that 0 week we talked about a lot, but he bounced back nicely last week, 8 for 136 on 10 targets. Double-digit targets in 4 of 5 weeks, looking like no Julio Jones again. I just love the way this game plays out for Ridley just getting a ton of action in the second half.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it. I think the only reason I didn't think enough about these guys is I'm probably paying up at both running back spots and just the way that my initial build went, which generally is completely different than what I play on Sundays. But I just didn't. I had maybe one spot here. I actually don't think I even could get up to Ridley. But it just seems like we have so many wide receivers to play this week. Even with the teams that are not on the slate, we still have so many guys, and they tend not to be that expensive that cash game wise, I just don't see a need to pay up on these guys, which is weird because it's I'm making the decision to fade guys that seem just absolute locks for 10 targets. And that's exactly what you want in a cash game.
Yeah. The 5,500, 6,500 receivers, there's six guys in there that I really like.
Yeah.
Just want to hit Thielen really quick. I mean, he's really come on the last 2 weeks, 23 targets the last 2 weeks. Obviously, great matchup. We talked about Minnesota, Atlanta a bunch. I mean, DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson over 200 yards last week on Atlanta. Allen Robinson, you mentioned earlier, had 121 yards in week three. And CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper over 100 yards week two. I mean, they've just been giving it up everywhere. Nice price break on Thielen at FanDuel. Just to mention that site real quick. Ridley's 8,600 there. Adams is 9,000. Thielen's 7,400 there. So he's he's a significant difference drop between the top two guys. Whereas DraftKings, he's lower, but not as much. I think he's a big play on FanDuel. I think he's actually underpriced on.
Yeah, that's really surprising that he's that low, because I don't know why he wouldn't be with that other group.
You mentioned Allen Robinson, 7,000 on both sides. I mean, just a target monster, 9+ targets in every game, 39 the last 3 weeks, 90+ yards in the last 3 games. It's the first time he's done that in his career. Plenty of wide receiver ones have done well against Carolina. I think Robinson's a good play this week. I just like the guys just above him more, and I like a lot of the guys below him more. So I don't think I'm going to get there this week as much as I, you know, I'm always the Allen Robinson guy.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. So this next group, it's like,
it's so good.
It's so good, but I also feel like there are some guys that I'm willing to just throw out immediately. Like, obviously, Julio's hurt. I don't think you're ever going to play Juju Smith-Schuster ever.
Why is he the price that he is?
Yeah.
Why is he not? Why is everybody else drop and go up and Juju Smith-Schuster does not move?
Totally agree. Totally agree. I see no reason to play Will Fuller.
He's insanely priced everywhere. we talked about it during the week. And I think you were tired of me complaining about it.
Not at all.
Like, why? I just don't get. I mean, he's 7,100 on DraftKings or FanDuel. He's more expensive than Allen Robinson, we just talked about, who gets the ball 9,000 times a game, and he hasn't dropped it all on DraftKings. He's 6,600 there. Like, he hasn't done anything all year. Like, granted, I know he's really, really talented in a good offense with a good quarterback, but I mean, I don't get why everybody else drops or moves up and he does not.
24 targets in four games doesn't seem like enough still be in this group.
I guess they don't want to drop him and make him so that everybody plays him, but I don't know. I think that's I think if he were like 5,900, it'd be really fun because you would have to actually consider him.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And frankly, there are guys in 5,900 range that. Oh, actually, 5,900 is exactly the mark since you.
I agree there. I just picked a number, but like, give me a price where at least I've got to at least consider him and think about it. You know,
just picked a number. I mean, that DJ Moore price has been locked in your head all week, but.
So let's jump down a little bit. We've got 6,300, we have Robbie Anderson, who obviously has been really, really good. 6,300, we also have Devontae Parker, who didn't do a lot last week, did score, so kind of got there. But they pulled off the gas. He only had three targets. I mean, he could have done a lot against those Niners. But he had 12 targets the week before. You know, good matchup against the Jets. Obviously, the game script's a little bit concerned in the second half. But we hope that, you know, if they get there, like you said before, it's because Fitz and Parker connected a couple times. DeAndre Hopkins killed the Jets last week. Hell, Tim Patrick killed the Jets the week before that.
I mean, Hopkins had like 75 yards and a touchdown on two plays on in the fourth. Like, anybody who played him got completely bailed out. But cumulatively, yes, he was fine.
Are you sticking up for the Jets?
No, I'm not.
So Robbie Anderson, we've talked a lot about DJ Moore, obviously, but Robbie Anderson, I'm kind of surprised he's not been priced up more. I mean, I don't know why he hasn't fully moved up. He's cheaper than Juju Smith-Schuster for some reason.
There it is.
I had to do it once more. 8+ targets in 4 or 5 games, 99+ yards in 4 or 5 games. I mean, the dude is like third in the NFL in receiving. He has 5+ catches every game. He's clearly being used as the main guy in this offense. As much as I love DJ Moore, it's very clear that with Teddy Bridgewater there, Robbie Anderson is the guy that gets more targets and gets more passes. Happens every single week. And, you know, as much as I love DJ Moore, it'd be stupid for me to not see that. The Bears have only allowed one guy over 100 yards and only one touchdown to wide receivers. So the matchup is a spot here where maybe a little bit difficult. But Robbie Anderson, 6,300, still very, very playable with the volume he's getting.
I think he's playable. Like, I'm skipping both Carolina guys. I'm probably skipping Davis. Like, it's not the 85 Bears, but like, the Bears defense is good enough for me where I need to see nobody else in the price range or nobody else who can help me to go there. And they're just like, you mentioned Parker. Justin Jefferson is in that range as well. He wasn't great last week, but like, if we expect Minnesota to throw a little bit, like, he makes sense. We got Terry McLaurin against the Giants. Like, I just feel like there are guys even cheaper. I'll keep going. But I just feel
you still haven't mentioned my favorite play on the entire slate. So it's in its range, too.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I just think that there are other guys that I don't necessarily need to focus on. Like, knowingly jump in with Robbie Anderson or DJ Moore in, like, not a great matchup when there are other great matchups to be had in this price range.
So, speaking of great match of this price range, I think that Kenny Golladay is a flat misprice this week.
Yeah, totally agree.
I scrolled. I'm like, oh, I must have missed Kenny Golladay.
Yes.
I was looking at rankings. I'm like, oh, he's a top 10 guy this week, whatever. And I kept scrolling. I'm like, where the heck is Kenny Golladay? I'm like, is he not on the slate? 6,200. I thought he'd be like 7,000. Honestly, yeah. I thought he was way off. 15 targets in 2 weeks since returning. He scored both week. The Jaguars might be down both cornerbacks this week. There's one has a concussion and one is injured, so they might not play. One might play, but banged up at cornerback. great game flow. We talked about it with Stafford and Jacksonville earlier. It should be back and forth. I mean, Brandon Cooks went crazy against this this defense last week. Brandon Cooks, who was a ghost the week before. Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins both went over 75 yards the week before. Kenny Galladay, 6,200. I assume he's going to be really, really popular. I don't think that I'm, you know, being profound or finding a gem here, but Kenny Galladay, 6,200, I think, is like the easiest play on the slate by a pretty significant margin for me.
Wow, easiest play. That makes me feel better about it. I generally try not to correlate too much in cash games, just in case like my quarterback wide receivers are completely killed. Like, but it at 6,200 and Stafford at 6,300. Right. It's too cheap not to. Like, I'm not doing it with Rodgers and Adams. I'm not doing it with Ryan, at least when he was expensive, and Ridley. Like, these guys are cheap enough where hopefully you can get away with it. But yeah, that was a weird price. I mean, he's only played twice, which, like, maybe that plays a little bit into it. But it's not like he played the first two games and then has been out. They're coming off a bye. Like, is it a bye or is it just a...
It was a bye. Yeah, they were off last week.
So
and the thing with Galladay is, like, he can obviously explode and go off. He's talented. He's big in the red zone. I think he has a pretty good floor too. Like, I think he's going to get a certain number of targets, a certain number of yards. Like, I don't think he's not a boom or bust guy to me at 6,200. Like, I think he works in cash games. I think he works in GPPs. I think he's one of those guys that like fits perfectly for both. Like, I don't see, I just think he's mispriced and more than anything.
Yeah. I think if you can convince yourself, and it's not like it takes much convincing, but like, if you look at the Lions offense, like, you're expecting them to score a lot of points. You certainly, we didn't even mention a Lions running back.
You can't, they're all three are unplayable.
Right. And so when you have that and you're like, oh, I'm going to play the quarterback, and it's like, all right, well, who are the pass catchers? And we'll obviously get to a very big one in the tight end section, but like, you're not going to play Marvin Jones.
No, he hasn't done anything. Yeah.
And Galladay is just such a big target. And at that price, it just seems like it's really easy.
I'd play him at 7,200, put it that way.
Wow. But now you don't have to.
He's right there with me with like, if he was priced with Thielen, like, that would be a tough call for me.
That's,
like,
okay.
I think he should be right in that mix.
That's fair. I think it's fair. So there are three guys who are a little cheaper. I like casually mentioned McLaurin. I basically never played McLaurin in cash games because of the quarterback situation. And that's not changing this week. So
I think I'd rather have Dwayne Haskins than Alex Smith or Kyle Allen.
Yeah, sure. There was nothing scarier than every time Alex Smith took a snap last week.
Just deathly frightening.
It was just, oh my God, it was awful.
Like, I didn't want to watch it because I like Alex Smith. He was obviously, has a lot of time and, you know, didn't work out, but he left really well when he was replaced. And, but I was just, I genuinely thought he was going to, like, get really hurt every play.
Every play. But there are three guys that I wanted to bring up, two of which I would play and the other one is more to needle you a little bit. But I think, Slayton and Chenault are great plays this week, as long as they're healthy. Both of them are coming in questionable, but we're taping this before Friday practices. So I think they're perfectly fine. I think actually, like, one of them might be, like, I think someone in this group is actually going to be popular just because for a lot of cash lineups, like, you're going to have to spend down a little bit at wide receiver. Galladay obviously helps. Do you think that Chase Claypool is worth anything? Like, 5,100 is obviously, or 5,200 on DraftKings, like, last week was ridiculous. He obviously got a bunch of that work after Diontae Johnson went down. It's possible Johnson plays this week, but like, do you think the Steelers saw enough out of Claypool last week where they're like, we actually need to get this guy the ball more?
I mean, I get it. I'm not gonna chase it right now. Okay. If Diontae Johnson plays, I would play Diontae Johnson over Claypool pretty easily. I think there's enough guys in this range down in the 50s. Like, I would play Chenault, I think, instead. I see with Claypool and he looked great. I mean, he had four touchdowns. It was insane.
Right.
But I just think there's other guys in the range I'm going to play more. I'm probably not going to chase that one. There's a guy that's a little bit cheaper than Claypool that I really, really like this week. You're going to think I'm crazy about. But I'll get to that one in a second. I don't think I'm playing Chase Claypool, just to answer your question.
Okay. There was actually one guy I missed. And I missed because I tend to want to be not optimistic about it at all. So since you're a little more unbiased about it, but I mean, Jamison Crowder has 31 targets in three games. 33. With two different quarterbacks, one of which is going to be the one playing this week. At 6,100 in a game that they could potentially lose 47-0. So you don't get the touchdown, but you might get, you know, 16 targets again. Like, does he, like, I don't think I've ever played Jamison Crowder in cash just because, like, I'm like, he's so much better than everybody, but I'm like, the Jets are so bad that, like, it doesn't matter. But, like, somehow it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who is throwing passes to him. He's going to get 10 to 15 targets every game. And in this game where they should be throwing, like, should I be giving a longer look to Jamison Crowder?
Yes. And I think you actually buried the best stat of it. You mentioned all the targets, which are very important. He's been over 100 yards in all those games, too.
All two touchdowns.
Three games have been over 100 yards. Like, he's doing something with those targets. Yeah. I mean, we have nobody else that's had 100 yards in all their games. He should avoid Byron Jones. He'll be lined up in the slot. The Miami was lit up in the slot by Stephon Diggs. 160 yards against them in week two. We think Fitz and Parker and Preston Williams and Miles Gaskin are all playable and gonna get some points. Yeah, I think Crowder's, I mean, he's priced correctly. Like, I think they moved him up and he's 6,100. So it's at a point where it's not easy. Like, if he was 5,200, like, it'd be easiest play ever. Yeah, he's certainly in the mix for me. There's a lot of guys in this range I like a lot, which might be a little bit tough, but I think that helps his. I think he's going to be under-owned too, because I think everybody's going to go to Galladay. Yeah. I think people play Chris Godwin. I think people play Parker. People play the other guys we talked about. Yeah, I think he's really playable. It's scary with the Jets. It's scary with Flacco, but they're going to have to throw the ball the whole second half.
You would think. I mean, might not even be the second half. Could start at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
Although you're also depending on Adam Gase doing the right thing.
Yeah, there's also that. So there's a couple of guys here that I really like we haven't even talked about yet. I think I'm higher on this guy than you are, but like 5,600, I love AJ Brown. I think that price is because he played on Tuesday and he looked good. And he looked back healthy. They probably hadn't adjusted him. I think 5,600 for a guy that's this good is just a misprice. Also, he had nine targets week one. He went last week he went seven for 82 in a touchdown. He was over 100 yards of the touchdown against the Titans both games last year when he played them. Houston's played pretty well. Played well against receivers. They played Jacksonville well last week, but you know that's Jacksonville. Thielen and Justin Jefferson both had over 100 yards the week before, so I kind of throw out the Jacksonville stuff. I think AJ Brown at 5,600. I just think it's too much talent for that price. Kind of what it comes down to.
I think that's always going to be the issue with Brown. Like we all know he's really really good, and it's just a matter of like whether they utilize him well enough. But yeah, I think it's a great, I mean, we were saying if everybody's on Henry and you can get a not as popular Tannehill, AJ Brown, Jonnu Smith or Raymond or whoever else is on there, Humphreys comes back. Like, I think that makes total sense.
And I also wonder if they've shifted how they use Brown. We only have two games to look at, but he has eight targets and nine targets in those two games.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's the Marquise Brown. He's getting more targets too. That's a bad example, but not the guy where they're, you know, getting three or four. There was a lot of games last year with Brown where he got like four targets. It was a matter of if he hit that 60-yard play or not.
I think I wrote about it for the Tuesday game. I think he only had three or four games all of last season, including the playoffs, with more than four targets. Excuse me, more than four receptions.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now, and that looks about right. And this year, he's had 5-7 in his two games.
Right.
So I think he's the guy in the offense now. I think 5,600 is just way too cheap. I'm gonna have a lot of lineups with Galladay, AJ Brown, both in him, and kind of just playing the price on those guys.
See you at the top.
Yeah, hopefully. You mentioned Darius Slayton, 5,400. He obviously, it sounds like Sterling Shepard's still going to be out one more week, which is big for Slayton. He gets a lot more action with Shepard's out. He was good against Dallas. I mean, a lot of action, 11 targets, 8 for 129, 25 targets the last 3 weeks. He's a guy that if he's getting targets, he's so talented that it just kind of almost has to work out unless they just get horrible quarterback play, which is very possible.
Which is possible.
With Daniel Jones. Washington hasn't allowed a 100-yard receiver yet, which is probably the fact that people run against them and, you know, kind of running out the clock. But, you know, Robert Woods and Kupp had like 140 yards total between them. I think Slayton's very, very playable at 5,400. I just there's other guys that I like maybe a little bit more this week, but he's definitely in my kind of small receiver group that I'm considering.
Is Chenault in that group?
He is. He's 5,200. You know, the targets have been up nicely. He had, what, eight targets last week for seven catches. Played 52 snaps last week, which I think is really important. Good game flow. If you want to go Stafford, Gallon, you want somebody coming back. I think anybody, if I'm trying to get a piece of this Jacksonville offense, I think it's Chenault probably right now. And DJ Chark did not practice Wednesday, Thursday. If he doesn't play, he definitely bumps up in my player pool.
Yep. Okay.
So there's one more guy in this range I wanted to talk about, and he's 5,000, and you're going to think I'm crazy for this one. T.Y. Hilton against Cincinnati. First signs of life last week. He had 10 targets last week. He was 6 for 69. Big snaps the last 2 weeks. He played 53 and 54 snaps. Good matchup. The game script could get sketchy. Who knows what happens if they get up on Cincy. Cincy looked terrible last week, but you think that maybe Burrow keeps him in this game. Cincinnati's allowed 5 touchdowns to wide receivers in the last 4 weeks. No one over 100 yards, but they have given up touchdowns. Marquise Brown had a good game. DJ Chark had 2 touchdowns 2 weeks ago. I think T.Y. Hilton will be touched by nobody this week. I think he's a really good GPP guy at 5,000. With so many guys around him that everybody loves, you're going to get a guy who still is very talented. Quarterback play is sketchy, to say the least, with Philip Rivers, but will throw the ball and will force the ball, which I like with quarterbacks. I think at 5,000, I think people will skim by him with all the price, the guys we've talked about. I think he's a really good GPP play this week.
You're right.
Your silence is deafening.
No, you're right, though. And I think he's a very good GPP play because, just like you said, I think everybody's going to avoid him. He's still the number one wide receiver for a team that's favored.
I watched that game. It seemed like a shift to me last week that decided they needed to get him more involved.
But I mean, that makes sense for sure. So,
and if you're looking at price, he didn't do anything, which is great. He had 6 for 69, so nothing's going to move his price anyway. But the 10 targets stuck out to me. I think Rivers forces the ball. I think that I think he's a really good GPP. I think he's going to be very underowned.
Would you like him more or less? Obviously, this is not going to happen. But would you like him more or less if Sam Darnold was the Colts quarterback?
I would like him more.
Okay. I saw Bill Barnwell wrote that that's what the trade that should happen.
I think Philip Rivers is washed as a really good quarterback.
Yeah. Okay. That's
kind of got a little bit long on wide receivers. It's a really fun group this week. I just want to ask about a couple of guys that are cheaper. We mentioned Deontay Johnson. That's me. If he plays and he looked good at practice today at 4,900, I think he's in consideration, but a little bit scary for me. He's left the last 2 games injured and I'm a little scarred there, but I think he's really, really good, really talented and underpriced for the talent. Preston Williams, you know, we talked a lot about Devontae Parker last week, and I'm a little bit mad at myself that I didn't go a little more Preston Williams, considering he was really cheap, and we hated the 49ers cornerback situation. It came to fruition. I mean, they looked awful.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a guy in this Brian Allen guy that apparently he had never played for the Niners and played a couple games 2 years ago for the Steelers that looked like if you stuck me out of there on an island with Devontae Parker, like it wouldn't have looked that much worse. Like it was that bad. It was 3rd and 22, and he literally let Parker just run right by him. And I was like, what? Like, granted, some of that is scheme. Like, there's no way there should not be a safety helping this guy. He'd already been burned like 4 times. And
right.
Fitzpatrick was like going to the line and pretty much looking where Allen was and just throwing the guy that was – it was really sad. But Preston Williams looked good last week. He had done nothing really before that week. He hasn't topped 5 targets since week 1, but 4 for 106. At 4,700, I think he's worth mentioning just because of the fact that they could thrash the Jets. They could score a ton, especially the first half throwing the ball. We mentioned the DeAndre Hopkins stuff with the Jets last week, and you did mention there was a couple big plays, but 4,700, I think Preston is still in the player pool as someone that's usable.
Yeah, and I think he makes like a reasonable addition to a Dolphin stack if you decide to fade either Parker or Gesicki, because that seems where most people are going to go if they want a bunch of the Dolphins, which is not a phrase I expected to have to say this season.
Right.
I believe Jerry in his Hidden Statline article this week was noting that Preston Williams is losing some snaps to Jakeem Grant, who is like the fastest human on earth. But I think, like, I agree.
Wouldn't
like,
that be an awesome title to hold? Fastest man on earth would be like the coolest.
Fastest
title
man on earth. They had that. I mean, isn't that what the Bolt was? Or not Bolt? They always give it to the 100 meter. I don't even know who holds the record now.
Yeah, as you say, yeah, forever. I think he might still be.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, I think, Williams makes sense. I mean, it just seems like there are a lot of guys down here that you, like, could go with. And none of them, I think, are reasonable cash game plays. But, like, T. Higgins has looked really good recently. And N'Keal Harry with Newton back, you think you might be able to get something out of him. I think those guys are, like, guys you can look at, but I'm not sure you're really, like,
Talk to me about Travis Fulgham in Philadelphia at 4,400.
Given the matchup, I just don't see the reason. Like, I'm not going to buy into having to play against Baltimore. Like, that's how I was thinking about it. What about
13 targets last week?
Yeah. I mean,
10 for 152. I know he's against Baltimore, but maybe they're trailing in that game and it works. But the matchup scares me. But they, I tell you what, they love Travis. Every quote from the Eagles, like, front office and team this week has been loving Travis Fulton.
I mean, after that game, you would like anybody. So, like,
you'd hope so, right? Yeah.
Yeah. What about your boy at 3,200, Olamide Zaccheaus?
Yeah, he burned a little bit last week. He still played a lot.
Yeah, he did. He played more than any other wide receiver.
Like, if you had told me that, I'd be like, I played him anyway, but, like, I would have loved that. He played 63 snaps.
Yeah.
And the first drive, he had, like, that 13-yard catch. I think I DM'd you, like, here we go.
Here we go.
He touched the ball again. Four targets. Yeah, it's I think he's still playable. And in a game where, like, if you want to go really cheap and get a piece of this game at 3,200, I think he's still playable. What do you do with your boy in New York, Geoff Smith? We talked about the 9 targets the week before. He had 11 targets last week. He's still 3,000.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
He's 20 targets last 2 weeks.
Yeah. He cut 3 for 23. That's the problem.
That's hard to do on 11 targets.
It's really hard. I think,
granted, that's probably some Joe Flacco in there, but still.
Well, right. It's almost like Jameson Crowder has shown that he is immune to whoever the quarterback is, and Geoff Smith obviously is not.
I deeper targets and all that, but yeah. I don't know. 20 targets over the last 2 games for 3,000 is something that you can't automatically cross off.
Yeah.
It sounds like you have.
I would probably play Zaccheaus over Smith.
Okay. Just to get a piece of that game and that offense instead of the Jets.
Right. Right. Again, 47-0. I don't know why you're buying into the 0.
That's true too.
He's more likely, like, they could end up on the exact same stat line where it's like 3 for 43, but Smith is 3 for 43 on 12 targets and Zaccheaus is 3 for 43 on 5.
Yeah.
And, like, yes, you, in that case, like, you should always go to Smith because, like, you want the targets. Like, you cannot catch passes unless you get the targets, but I don't need to buy into that.
Yeah. Zaccheaus is frustrating because he really looked that first drive and they went away from it. They threw everything to Ridley in the second half. There was a drive where, like, Ridley had like 6 passes in a row that he caught. It was frustrating because I the game kind of worked out as you wanted it to. They were throwing the ball a lot and it just didn't it didn't happen. When you get cheap guys like that, you always get that risk that, you know, they kind of disappear and the team doesn't use them as much as they should. And that was what happened there.
You just assumed that he got hurt. Like, if you weren't watching the game, and it's like, no, he ran more routes than Calvin Ridley. He just never got the ball back to him.
It's annoying because Ridley's 18 and Zaccheaus is 17. So every time you could, like, kind of half see the jersey, like, oh, and you're like, oh,
no, not him. There was just no explanation for it. It's not like he fumbled. It's not like he dropped a blatant pass and Matt Ryan went all Aaron Rodgers on him and just stopped throwing. Like, there was just no reason. All of a sudden, he just disappeared.
Yeah, it was almost like they at halftime they're like, we need to get the ball to Calvin Ridley, and just went hyper intense with that. So,
right.
Let's jump into tight ends real quick before we get out of here. Interesting slate this week because George Kittle and Travis Kelce are not on it, so we don't have that elite guys at the top. Mark Andrews is the most expensive at 6,500. You said it earlier. I think you said it earlier. Andrews just has to score to work, and I don't think I want to pay up for a guy that. He's a ton of red zone targets. Lamar looks at him in the red zone, but. He doesn't have over 60 yards in a game yet. Like, I don't think I can play this price for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's 1,000 more than the next highest on DraftKings. And, he is a prototypical tight end in the sense that he's not breaking off, like, really long plays, not Noah Fant in that regard, or Kittle. And so when you're relying on, like, fairly low target depth and 5 to 7 catches, you really need one or two of them to be in the end zone, particularly at 6,500. Like, 6,500 on DraftKings for the wide receiver range, like, we were talking about, like, Galladay is 62, Crowder 61, Godwin 64, Juju Smith-Schuster 6,600. Like, Andrews, if he was a wide receiver, wouldn't be remotely close to these guys. And, like, he obviously helps fill a tight end spot, but, like, there are other tight ends to play this week that, for a cash game, I don't know why you would play Andrews when you could use that salary and not have to get a $4,000 wide receiver.
If Chris Godwin is ruled in and playable, are you going to use him at 6,400? You mentioned him just a second ago.
No.
Okay.
I mean, Jameis Godwin is much different than Brady Godwin.
Yeah, I think that's fair. There's cheaper guys than Godwin that I like more. Yeah. So I'm probably not going to do it either. Otherwise, at tight end, we've got we have Ertz at 5,000, Gesicki at 5,500, Hockenson at 5,300. The guy that sticks out to me in this range, if you're going to pay, pay medium. I wouldn't call it pay up. Jonnu Smith at 5,200 he has 5 touchdowns already through 4 games. His targets have been really good, over 7 targets in 3 of the 4 games. Houston's been good against tight ends. Travis Kelce got a touchdown at 50 yards against them week 1, but I just think in this offense, the way they're built, Jonnu Smith is kind of their second receiver after AJ Brown.
Right. And is he definitely after Brown?
That's a fair point. Like I think he is, and I think I like AJ Brown more than you do, but he's right there with him. Like he's very involved in the red zone. I mean, 5 touchdowns in 4 games. Like they're clearly good. When they get inside the 20, they're clearly looking at Jonnu, which is really important.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I wasn't surprised, but I was like disappointed at how expensive Hockenson was.
Yeah, me too.
Like for how cheap it felt like Stafford was and Galladay was, that it was like, oh, maybe we can get like a 4,800 Hockenson. And like, not that 5,300 on DraftKings is that different, but it's like different enough. There were other guys like below him that it's like, oh, I guess that I'd probably play that guy instead. But like, I don't know. It was kind of disappointing in that one. But yeah, I like Smith a lot in that spot. I'm just not sure my build ends up in a range where I can afford these guys.
Yeah. In this range, though, it's Smith for me. I play him over Hockenson, Gesicki, and Ertz.
I agree.
And breakout star of 2020, Robert Tonyan, who's now 5,100 on DraftKings. After the 3 touchdown game without Davante Adams, I'm not jumping in on that one this week.
He has 11 catches on 11 targets.
That's impressive.
In the last 2 games. And if there's one thing we know, is that Aaron Rodgers likes guys who catch his passes.
That is true.
But yeah, 5,100.
Give me Jonnu every day this week over him at the same price.
Yep.
As we get a little cheaper, I think there's a guy you like down in the 4,000 range. Who are your cheaper tight ends this week?
Eric Ebron is the one who jumped out at me. Although I originally tried to convince myself to do the other double E, Evan Ingram. But it's like we went in last week with like he's getting all these targets. At some point he's going to catch them. He's going to get in the end zone. It's going to be great. He got in the end zone, but it wasn't on a target, and he only ended up having, what do you have, 2 or 3 last week? And it's like
2 targets last week. That's crazy.
Like, what are they doing? Like, I really don't get it. That rushing touchdown was such a wonderful bailout, so thank you very much to Jason Garrett for designing that play. But yeah, I think
exactly.
I think Eric Ebron is the cheap guy that really jumps out at me this week.
So at $200 less, I like someone more in the exact same game.
You've always loved Austin Hooper, right?
So Austin Hooper,
yeah, sell me on this.
Was not involved the first 3 weeks. He had 10 targets the first 3 weeks. It was looking like, you know, why'd they sign him? What's going on here? 17 targets the last 2 weeks. 7 in week 4 against Dallas and scored. 10 against Indy last week, had 5 for 57. I think that with no training camp, all that kind of stuff, I think they're finally figuring out how to use Hooper in the offense. I don't know. I love the way the arrow's pointing up on targets. He's 3,900, so it's like if it doesn't work, he's not killing you. I just think at the price, a guy who was really good last year, granted a lot of targets with Atlanta, a better offense, but you know, OBJ is a little sick, so maybe that moves him up in the targets a little bit. Landry's a little bit banged up. I think this week works really well for Hooper if he gets a bunch of targets again. You're gonna be a guy with 17 targets the last 2 weeks in a game that they're probably gonna be trailing. They're underdogs at Pittsburgh. Hasn't topped yardage. You're not gonna get a big breakout game from Hooper, but I think it's a nice floor game right now. That at 3,900, I take him over anybody else in the range.
I think if there was a wide receiver. At 39.
I know if you go Hooper and Hilton, I know I seem crazy this week. I like them both.
Yeah, I think 17 targets at 3,900 for any other position, we'd be like, oh my gosh, like we should look at that. Obviously, they're not like downfield targets, but that's an interesting one. I didn't give him enough of a look. I actually thought you were going to say Darren Fells.
I'm still pissed about last week. So
yeah. So, oh well.
for anybody. I talked to you about it. I almost went. I had Deshaun Watson in my main team, and I had I almost went Fells once Jordan Akins ruled out, and right. I stuck with Jordan Thomas. And it I DM'd you that when Fells scored the touchdown, it was just like a stabbing. It hurt so much because it was obviously the right way to go. If you're going to go a cheaper tight end, like correlate him with your quarterback. I mean, it's not like Logan Thomas has done anything. We talked about a bunch of targets earlier, but. Not going to Fells there once Aiken was ruled out was just a mistake. And I can admit mistakes sometimes, and that was definitely one of them.
In fairness, that touchdown was 50% of his targets.
It was. And it was a 57, whatever it was, 50-yard touchdown, which right. you don't expect from Darren Fells. Like, it was a blown coverage. But, like, it just if you're going to go that cheap at tight end, like, at least get a guy that, if he does work, like, works with your quarterback, too. I just, I don't know. I blew it on that one. It won't be the last time it happened. But I like to talk about my good plays, so I'm very willing to talk about my mistakes also.
There you go. That's big of you.
Yeah, so Hooper 3900, I think works a tight end. If I'm going cheap, that's where I'm going. If I'm going up, it's to Janu. Kind of the two tight ends I'm going to be playing. There's not a lot of guys in between there. That I think I'm going to move towards maybe some Hockenson if I want to like stack Galladay and him with Stafford. But I think Janu and Hooper are my two guys this week.
Yeah, I'm not sure I see like a very clear most popular one for cash games. Like last week, Ingram ended up being pretty. It was basically Ingram, Kittle, and Kelsey. And this week, like obviously two of those guys aren't here. And so I don't know if I see a ton of people like paying up for Gesicki. Yeah, I won't be. So I don't know.
If I had to guess, I think it's Gesicki or Janu, but I think nobody's going to be like an outlandish percentage
right.
by any means.
Right.
Yeah. Talking about defense. Defense mattered last week. We talked about how defense is tough, but Baltimore last week like really vaulted teams to win. We talked about Baltimore. I said I like Pittsburgh more. Pittsburgh was okay, but like Baltimore had 29 points, I think, on DraftKings. Just killed everybody that did not play them, and they were not super high percentage, but like 10% owned were enough percentage. Where like you get those 30 points out of defense, like that's tough to come back from.
You can't.
You can't. Like, it's like you suddenly sticking Mike Davis last week in your defensive slot. It was huge. I think he had 29 points also.
It's a great way to put it.
Yeah. So Baltimore this week is priced even higher up. They're 4,500 at Philly. Obviously a huge game last week. We talked about they had 7 sacks, a touchdown, 3 turnovers. Philly's given up 3+ sacks in 4 of 5. I think Baltimore's a good play this week, but I'm not paying the 4,500 myself.
I like go out of my way to just not. Like yeah. The only way I end up paying up for defense is if I really like the rest of my lineup and I happen to have the yeah. salary. I just don't, there's no reason to prioritize defense. I mean, there's a reason to prioritize not totally throwing your defense out and just taking the, okay. although even then just the bottom one, like the variance on defense is just too much. And so yeah. Thankfully though, we have a really cheap one that I like.
I think there's a couple of cheap ones I like, but before we get there, if I were to play a defense kind of in the more top end range, I actually like Indianapolis this week at 4,000. They scored a touchdown last week and forced 2 turnovers. Since he gave up 7 sacks last week to Baltimore, yeah. turned over 3 times. Joe Burrow made a couple passes where you just look at he's just throwing ball for grabs, and AJ Green quits like half his routes halfway through anyway, so he's not gonna play this week. But unfortunately, he's not that. But since he also had a game where they gave 8 sacks, so like yeah. they're a team that you can really kind of pick on for defenses. But I agree with you. I think on the pricing this week, I went down. I like the Giants and Miami. Which one were you thinking of?
The Giants aren't even that cheap.
They're 3,200, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Where are the Dolphins?
So you're going uber cheap then. Is Dolphins who you're thinking of?
No, no, no.
All right. Sell me on yours then. I'm curious.
Yeah. Why don't the Vikings make sense at 2,300?
Yeah. I was surprised how cheap that was. And you've got an Atlanta offense, which is not playing, you know, like you normally think Atlanta plays. The Vikings had, 7 sacks the last 2 weeks. They were yep. pretty good against Russell Wilson last week. I mean, he obviously went crazy for like – but it was like that – it was like a 4-minute stretch where Seattle scored 3 times. Like yeah. they had 21 points in 3 minutes. Other than that, Minnesota defense was great.
Yeah.
It's just that Russell Wilson can explode at any time. Yeah, Matt Ryan, I think, is right now not looking great. Could be prone to some mistakes. I think if you go over cheap, that makes a lot of sense. It's a really interesting one.
I mean, particularly people love their running back defensive stack. So if you're playing Madison, right. you just play the defense as well. But like that, like I probably wouldn't have even considered them if they were 2,800. But at 2,300, right. literally the Bengals and the Falcons are the only two in that game are the only teams that are right. cheaper than them. It just seemed like, why am I paying less for the Vikings than I am the Jets?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Miami is 2,900 on DraftKings. They had five sacks last week against the 49ers. They really played really well against the Niners. 11 sacks last 3 weeks. Obviously, the Jets are a team we want to face on defense. They've allowed 9 sacks last 2 weeks. They don't have any turnovers in that stretch, so I don't know if maybe Flacco might be someone that is not going to force anything. So maybe he's just going to protect the ball at all costs. And if they have to punt, they have to punt, which is not great for defenses. But I think the sack numbers get there. I think you kind of hope for a turnover. But I think Miami under 3,000 is a good play too.
So you're not worried about Flacco's mobility to get away from an oncoming rush now?
No, but I wish he'd do it a little bit, because maybe get some fumbles and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But
he's actually very good at holding onto the ball as three defenders are crunching down on him.
I mentioned the Giants earlier. Like you said, they're not super cheap, but the Giants have multiple sacks in every game. Washington has allowed 3+ sacks in every single game all year, 8 of them last week against the Rams. I think the Washington offense right now is absolutely horrendous. I think that whether it's Smith or I think it's going to be Kyle Allen, either way, I think you get a guy that's going to be – if it's Allen, I think he's more prone to mistakes. I probably like it more if it's Allen. I think you're getting a lot of pressures, a lot of sacks. I don't love the Giants as a team or a defense, but I think in a situation, if you want to kind of pivot off Miami, who probably will be pretty popular, Minnesota will probably be pretty popular at the price too. I think the Giants make an interesting one that maybe not that many people are going to play.
It was weird to me that they were a little cheaper than Washington, but I was surprised that you didn't say Washington. Like, playing against Daniel Jones seems like a decent situation.
It does, and I have them down here. I just liked the Giants a little bit more, so the exact same price. I was just shifting the Giants over Washington. I think that you can go – I mean, anytime you go against Daniel Jones, it's probably – he turns it over and he fumbles also, which, not just throws picks, but fumbles also. The Giants have also allowed multiple sacks every week. The only thing with Washington is I don't know if Chase Young is fully healthy. They only have 2 sacks the last 2 weeks. Yeah. So they're not really getting out of the quarterback like they did the first couple of weeks of the season. So in the same game, I just like the Giants a little bit more, just because I think Washington's offensive line is just a mess right now.
That's fair. That's fair.
Anybody else that is on your mind? Do you want to talk about before we jump out of here for week 6?
No, I think we got everyone I wanted to talk about.
Beautiful. Well, thanks everyone for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the Friday DFS version. We always appreciate you listening. If you want to follow Andrew on Twitter, he is at RotoWire Andrew. I am at Scott Jenstead. If you want to hit us up on there with other questions, happy to answer stuff there. Other than that, hope everybody has a really good week 6. We'll be back at you next Friday with week 7. Take care.